Okay, so I know a lot of you, I finished Makaros, so I've already given you the next sugya. So
you give any sources?
For people who finished, I gave them the next one.
Oh, okay.
But that means we'll try to get through these Makaros today, because I don't really want to create a... I want to create a gap like that, that you're on like Makaros for multiple days, that you're not... We haven't given shir on. Okay. So, we had set up some of the key questions in the sugya. The extent to which the mitzvah of writing or owning a sefer Torah is derivative of the mitzvah to learn, and the way that plays itself out for the rush, right? If you think that it's exclusively about learning, so then you might end up with the interpretation of the drisha within the rush, which is that nowadays that people won't practically learn from a sefer Torah and they will from svarim. The mitzvah is only svarim. If you think that it's about increasing the number of books that exist, the process, right? So then Sfarim obviously aren't going to be sufficient or maybe helpful at all. But there are some other questions that are derivative of that, plus there are other attempted defenses, because as we saw, most of the poskim didn't accept the rush in its radical reading, right? They either rejected that read of the rush, like the Beit Yosef, and said what? The rush just added a dimension. Or they said, maybe that's what the rush means, but the rush is wrong, right? But the halacha, that doesn't help us. So we need to, at the very least, again, there are some questions maybe we won't get to. At the very least, we should flesh out this idea a little bit more of to what extent the mitzvah of writing a Sefer Torah is merely a derivative of learning, and maybe attempt a little bit more to defend the reality that most of you probably do not own your own Sefer Torah, and or at least not have not written it. Good for you. I think that doesn't contradict my statement of most. I said most, right? Most. Okay. So to do that, let us look at two tshuvot in the Shagas Aryeh. Who is the Shagas Aryeh? What? No, we did that. We did him. Who is... Okay, this time I'll let you. Someone Google it, which is what you should have done during Seder, because as you know by this point, every time we introduce someone new, I will say, who is it? When did he live? Right? You might as well get used to finding out. I think it's better, no, to know who you're talking about, not like random name of random person.
Are you live Ben Asher Gunsberg?
Thank you. When did he live?
Very funny. He 1965, Lithuania. No. 1695, not...
Thank you. I was like, that's definitely not right. There you go. Very good. Very good. Okay, good. So, in Shuvah Lamed Hey and Lamed Vav, so pages 6 and 7, he deals with two questions. Right, two nafkaminas of this. In Shuvah Lamed Hey, he deals with the question of... by the way, the Shuvah is the Shagas Aryeh. Okay. I always forget. We got to start the year again. What are she'elot v'tshuvot? Right. What is that literature? Yes. Good. What is what? Like when we talk about it in halacha, what are these? The responsa literature. Usually, we're talking about halachic questions that were posed either directly to a posek or through one posek to another posek, and then the response. Right. The Shagas Aryeh is a bit different. His questions tend to be more theoretical. He just sort of frames it as like, here's my lumdish question, or here's my theoretical question, here are... So he has two tshuvot in a row that deal with these issues. The first one is about whether women are obligated, which is essentially an analysis of what is the nature of this mitzvah, and the next one is, why don't people write Sefer Torah today? So let's start with the first one. He asked the question, right? And he says, right, he frames the question, he says, V'yesh la'ayin. Right, we must ask. Im nashim chayavot b'mitzvat aseh zo shel k'tivat sefer Torah kanashim olo. You've got to ask: are women obligated or not? The given he's working is with what?
No.
That women are pater from what? Exempt from what mitzvah? From learning. Right. Da ha'deish lomer da'avakav nashim p'turot mitalmud Torah mikol makom mitzvat k'tivat sefer Torah lav b'talmud Torah talya utrei milei ninud lo shaychei ahadadei. Call, right? So you might say that since, and this is what he thinks definitely initially, is that yes, they are exempt from learning Torah, but the mitzvah of writing a Sefer Torah is not derivative of the mitzvah to learn. It is independent. Remember? So he's explicitly taking that fundamental question that we asked and saying one of the nafkaminas Now, Nav Kamina is just yeshivish for, it's a totally mistake, obviously, right? It comes from the Aramaic, right, which is, right, a nafkamina means what? What does it literally mean? How do we get to it? No. So, okay, so here you go. In yeshivish, right, modern, like, nafkamina means, right, what is a derivative of a chakira, right? What is the application of a conceptual question? The way we get there, the Aramaic is nafka mina, which means it comes from at this. Meaning literally, it emerges from this. Right? Nafka is to go out, mina from it. Right? What is the plural, by the way, in Aramaic of nafka mina? That's what you think, but it's wrong. It's nafke mina. Right? Or, right? Right? Because it's still, the object is from it. Right? Nafke is comes out. Right? More than one comes out from it. Right? But in yeshivish, which is how I'll use it probably most of the time, it's nafkaminas. Okay? Right? Which is the things that come out of it, meaning the derivatives. Yes, Kim, it's his. Yes. Okay, fine. So he says, right, this is the question. So his initial thought is that, are the two mitzvot linked? Right? Is the mitzvah of writing the Sefer Torah derivative of the mitzvah of learning Torah? No. Therefore, should women be obligated? Yes. Right? Yes, that's his initial thought. By the way, I'm going to bracket for now the question of women learning Torah now. Okay, I'm just going to bracket it. We're going to posit, right, that the Gemara clearly says that women's obligation to Talmud Torah is different from those of men. Okay? How that's true, what that means practically, I'm just bracketing for now. Right? This is not a secret. Someone, right, no one can yell at me that I don't believe in women's learning. It's untrue. Right? What?
You didn't give him.
I'm just saying, you can't. It's not true. If you want evidence, right, well, you can just come to my house. You know that my wife is, right, this year in Kollel, right? Like, essentially. Yes, she's learning full-time in a paid stipended learning program. So in colloquially, we call that Kollel, right? So yes, an all women's Kollel. Since Ara and I have been married, we've like alternated, right? The first year we were married, I was supported by her being in Kollel. Then the year after that, I was in. We've alternated years like this, and some years we were both essentially in Kollel. So we've done this for a while, okay?
Yes.
Teaching Kollel, whatever, but. Yes, she's in a program that you can only go to if you've already spent five full years learning full time Gemara. Which, since my wife qualifies, should tell you where I stand on the issue of whether women should be learning. Though someone once asked me, "Do you really believe in women's learning?" I'm like, "What exactly do you think?" And then they yes, but then he said, "No, maybe you think it's usher, but you love your wife and are willing to overlook it." I'm like,
"That is possible.
It's possible. It's unlikely that people would have set us up under those circumstances, but sure."
But if the women have an application for the Torah, they may come to me, you know, so then it's like a form of movement.
I did not follow that argument, but
it might be
who said anything about writing? We didn't say anything about writing.
This here.
Oh, we're gonna get to writing later in the year. Later in today also, but fundamentally, mostly later in the year. We will touch on it today, but we won't get it till a bit later. But yes, okay. But at the beginning, the Shagasari suggests that this question hangs on it, and he thinks that women are obligated to write the Torah because it is not derivative of learning, right? But he says, "Elo shariti laharambam b'sefer mitzvot shelo shekatav mitzvah yuched u'shisivanu shekol ish mimenu kotev sefer Torah latzmo." The Rambam says that everyone should write a sefer Torah. V'yemiyav shelo lechot v'tzarech shekneu. If you can't write it, you should buy it. Or you score mishich tevuhu lo, or hire someone to write it for you. V'u'amru kitvu lachem et shira azot ve'ein mutar lechtov dabar shir parshiot ki ratza bar'amru al shira kol Torah shelo zod ashira. We've seen this. V'achar tashlum minyan mitzvah azay chashuv mitzvah azay she'ein hanashim chayovot ba. Chodav alachit ched ve'ein hanashim chayovot bahen. But the Rambam does hold that. Right or not? Right? So he says, where would you get this from? So, the Shagas Aryeh Lishitato, he thinks that the only way of justifying, at this point, that women would not be obligated in writing a Torah would be if you thought that writing a Sefer Torah is a derivative of learning. And he says, well, where would you get this notion, and what does he pull out? Which source do you think he's going to pull out?
The Rush,
right? The Rush, remember? Right? Who says explicitly, De'ikra mitzvah k'tivat Sefer Torah u'mishum k'dei l'lmod. Right? And that's, right, why he thinks that you have to have svarim, right? The Rush says this explicitly. Now, right, and he continues, he says, right? But then he says, there is a way of saying this is not true, of saying that they don't hang on each other, because he could say, look, it's true that women aren't obligated in Talmud Torah the way men are, but no one has ever denied the fact that they have to at least learn the halachot that apply to them, right? That is not arguable, which means one could theoretically argue that this is not a nafkamina of this question, that one could argue that the mitzvah to write Sefer Torah is about learning, but there are still things that women need to learn. Right? According to everybody, right? Having nothing to do with whether you're, you know, modern and think women should learn Gemara, right? Just if you think they should know the halakha that applies to them. Right? That's not, like, really questionable. Okay? So he says, and he says, if you want proof for this, you can prove it from the fact that we paskin that women, when they do learn, they make the brachos on the Torah. And maybe you'll say, well, they're not obligated in all mitzvot. He says, that is irrelevant, because then you would say that, right, there are mitzvot that almost everyone is not obligated in. Right? No one ever said that only Kohanim are obligated in writing a Sefer Torah because only they are obligated in the mitzvot of Kahuna. Right? So that is not... and therefore he says, right, you might say that the reason women are exempt is because it's connected to Talmud Torah. But then he turns back on that and says, that's not great because women are clearly obligated to learn some Torah. So then what's his next attempt? His next attempt is what? So how would he argue? He said, why else might you think that women can't write, or are not obligated to write Sefer Torah? Max?
Isn't it more like a Kal Vachomer?
Are you Max? Max? What's his next argument? Not like, yes, what is his next argument? Right? He first suggests that it hangs on whether it's about Talmud Torah or not, and then he rejects that. So then he says, okay, maybe it's about something else. What is that other thing? Right? He doesn't like it, but he brings it up. This is Ve'ein Lavi Raya. What? And this is what? Okay, Tuvia. How about Tuvia? Since you were the one who wanted to say this, what was his next suggestion? How would you know that women are not obligated because they're not allowed to write it? Because the Gemara compares tefillin to Sefer Torah. Women are exempt from tefillin. If they're exempt from tefillin, they can't write tefillin. And we then compare tefillin to Talmud Torah, so therefore they can't write it.
Why is that so crazy?
I didn't say that was crazy. That's his next suggestion.
No.
So he doesn't like it. He says, "Ein lahavi raya." Don't prove it from that. But that was his next potential proof.
Why would you say not proof from
that? And his reason is because that's circular, right? Right. He says you could have said that, but it would be circular because women can't write tefillin because we know they're exempt from tefillin. But if you thought that women were obligated in writing a Torah, then they would also be allowed to write a Torah. Meaning, you're assuming your conclusion, then deriving the halacha from the conclusion you assumed. Right? You can't do that. Right? That's why he says it. Right? He said, you could do that, but it works by tefillin because our starting point is they don't wear tefillin, and then we say if they don't wear tefillin, then they can't write tefillin. But you're assuming your conclusion they can't write a Sefer Torah, and therefore they aren't allowed to write a Sefer Torah, and therefore they can't write a Torah, they don't have to write a Torah, therefore they can't write a Torah, and since they can't write a Torah, they must not have to write a Torah. Right? He said, you assumed your conclusion and end up in a circular argument. Right? So it doesn't work.
So why not just say because they can't learn Torah?
By the way, for all you people who said, yeah, we did the Shagas Aryeh, how many realized that was the argument he just made? Honestly. Okay, good. So next time, if you said you finished the source, please make sure that you actually know the argument being made in the source, right? Not just like vague idea. Part of the goal this year is to get you to read. So if you didn't get that, Okay. So therefore, he says. So then he ends up saying, well, okay, I should take it back. What he just said was, you can't derive it simply from the lack of the ability to write Sefer Torah, because that's circular. But then he says, like Max, well, why don't you just derive it from Tefillin, from Gzeira Shavah, then it's not circular, right? Because you're starting outside itself, right? Meaning, they don't wear Tefillin, therefore they can't write Tefillin, and therefore we compare Tefillin to Sefer Torah and say they can't write Sefer Torah. If they can't write Sefer Torah, that must indicate they're not obligated in writing a Sefer Torah, because if they were obligated in writing a Sefer Torah, they would also be able to write it, right? He says, you're right, that is a plausible argument, because that's not circular, right? Circular argument is, they don't have to write Sefer Torah, therefore they can't write a Sefer Torah, therefore they don't have to write a Sefer Torah. That's circular, right? Saying they can't wear Tefillin, and therefore they can't write Tefillin, and that's compared to Sefer Torah, so we know they can't write Sefer Torah, therefore we know they can't, they don't have to write a Sefer Torah, that's not circular, and that's the argument he does make. Did everyone follow that? Yes? Yeah. Okay, good.
Why isn't it something like because they can't learn...
And then he rejects that too. Right? That's the... Right? He rejects that too. Avol ein zuraya klal. Right? If you look on the second column, right? Third paragraph. He says, ein zuraya klal. Danashim avadim psula nami l'giriz mezuzah. Avol gav d'chayavim mezuzah. He says it's not true because that assumes that women are exempt from every mitzvah which they can't create by writing. But that's untrue because of mezuzah, where women can't write a mezuzah either, but they do need a mezuzah on their house. Right? And therefore, you see that they don't hang on each other, meaning the inability to write does not imply a lack of obligation to have it written for you.
But reverse, you're not obligated to it, you don't have to write for it.
Yes, but he says, the fact is that we know that there are things they can't write that they do need to have written for them, and therefore the fact that they can't write a Sefer Torah would not prove that they don't have to have it written for them. And that's why he rejects the proof.
It wouldn't be if writing then for the obligation also not allowed. It would be if the obligation then also to.
So what is therefore his conclusion? How does he get out of all these problems? He rejects the Rambam. And he says, no, women are obligated to write Sefer Torah, not like the Rambam. Right? He says, I don't have any good way of justifying this, because in the end of the day, he thinks that
you're obligated.
Writing a Sefer Torah is independent of the mitzvah of Limud. And he thinks that the ability to write has nothing to do with the obligation to have it written for you, and therefore he has no good proof for it, and it's not a mitzvah that she says my grandma, it's not time bound, and therefore he just says conclusion is that women are obligated, because if you've run out of reasons to say that they're not, then guess what you're left with.
So didn't we have a previous mission that said you write it to learn from it?
No, that was the rush.
Okay, the rush.
He rejects that. That's the point. He says it's wrong. He rejects all of this. Okay, this is why it's always important to remember who said what. If something is a Mishnah or a Gemara, you can't argue on it.
Right,
if something is a Rush, he can say, well, I don't like it. And that, guess what? That's what he says. He doesn't like it. Okay, good. So what we've gotten from here is that whether or not women are obligated might be a nafka mina of the question whether it's about Talmud Torah, but it also might not be, because A, it might be independent of Talmud Torah, B, women are obligated in some of Talmud Torah, and therefore, this is not a nafka mina. It's just a question, but it doesn't hang on this. Yes?
Okay.
Yes? Yes? Okay. Okay, the next tshuva is his attempt to explain why nowadays we don't write a Sefer Torah. Good. So who wants to reconstruct his argument, since all of you read it and understood it? Good. Reconstruct the Shargis Aryeh's defense of the fact that we do not write, that most people don't write Sefer Torah. Let's go through each of his arguments. Reconstruct it, right? First attempt is, look at it inside. Page 7, I gave you from the Olam at once so that the key lines would be underlined. First attempt to explain why we don't write Sefer Torah nowadays is the one we've seen, which is
the Rush.
What's the problem with the Rush? Is he sides with which read of the Rush? Right, well, remember, what were the two reads of the Rush? Either nowadays you only have to write Svarim, or nowadays you also have to write Svarim. Right? A possible defense of why we don't write Sefer Torah is it's exclusive. The problem is the Beit Yosef doesn't buy it. Which side does the Shargis Aryeh come down on?
Right.
within the Rush, does he side with the Beit Yosef or does he side with the Drisha? That the Rush means exclusive or non-exclusive? What? Which side does he... Again, you all said you read it, so let's... Rule in life. Something I learned from Rav Rosenzweig. If you claim to know something, you are warning, you are now warned. Henceforth, you are expected to know it. If you tell me you don't understand something, that's fine. At such point, you've told me you understood it. Be prepared to present it as if you understand it. I know, I'm being terribly mean, but I think that's fair. Good. So, does the Shagas Aryeh agree with the Beit Yosef that the Rush means one must write a Sefer Torah and have Svarim? Or does he think you only need Svarim? What?
Only Svarim.
That would be a defense, right? The Drisha said, the Rush says, nowadays you only need Svarim, not a Sefer Torah, that's why none of us have Sefer Torah. Who does he hold like, the Beit Yosef or the Drisha?
Sounds like Drisha because he's only saying to learn.
No, he is trying to defend it and he rejects it. Look inside, don't guess. Right? If you forgot, look at the second paragraph. He says, after quoting the Beit Yosef, he says, V'chein nira li ikar. Da'al korchach I efshar liftor achshav mitzvah k'tivat sefer Torah mivnei she'en lomdin ba. The Beit Yosef is correct. You are not exempted from your mitzvah of writing a sefer Torah merely by having svarim. And why does he say this? Remember, he was very lumdish. He says, why doesn't he agree with the Drisha's understanding of the Rush? Why doesn't he think that nowadays you can get away with only books? Because remember, conceptually, why would you say you can get away with only books if you think that the mitzvah is only about what?
Limud.
And what did we already see in the previous Shuvah? Does he believe that?
No.
No. Right? Da'atu tam mitzvah tziva tsefer Torah mishum k'dei lumod bahi. Is the mitzvah only about learning?
Read it.
Dim kain im yesh lo tsefer Torah mishum inyan shiyeh kem v'yachol lo momeh kiyem mitzvah zu. And how does he know? Why does he think it's not about learning? Why does he think it's not only about learning? Don't guess. He just said it. I even just read it. Because you are not Yotze if you inherit it. Because you're not, you need to write it. Right? Or buy it, but not inherit it. If it was only about learning, it would be about owning. Remember, he's drawing, remember we said, each of these have nafkaminas. If it's only about learning, is there a difference between writing or owning?
No.
But the fact that there are halachic reasons to think you have to write it or buy it, and you can't merely inherit it, points in the direction that it's not only about learning. Another potential nafkamina which rejects is women. Another potential nafkamina is, can you get away with only svarim? But since he consistently holds it's not only about learning, he thinks that women are obligated. He thinks you can't get away with just writing, just having books like the Rush, and right, he thinks you can get away with right owning it, but not writing it or commissioning it. Good. So then how does he defend the fact that most people don't write Sifrei Torah? If you aren't clear, I'll give you 30 seconds to look where the arrow points to say, here, this is the Shagas Aryeh's novel position. I did this to make your lives easier. Come on, page 7. You see that the finger? He's pointing, saying, look, read here. Good, so read there.
We can't read from it anyways?
We don't know how to write it properly.
Good. Oh. Right? The Shagas Aryeh says, and we've discussed this already. Remember we discussed this at the beginning, that our Sifrei Torah we know are not perfect. Right? So the Shagas Aryeh makes a very radical argument, which is... Yes. Is that if the mitzvah of... This is his argument. If the mitzvah of writing the Sefer Torah were about learning... So our Sifrei Torah, are they full in the sense that you can learn from them?
Yes.
But we're not 100% sure that we've gotten every yud and vav right, right? Which makes no difference if writing a Sefer Torah is merely about learning, because you can still learn it. But if the mitzvah is about writing, and we don't know how to write, we don't know. The Gemara already says, we don't know. Anan lo bikin b'chaseros b'yaseros. Since the time of the Gemara, we have been unsure of exactly the right way to write the Sefer Torah. More yuds, less yuds, more vavs, less vavs. Meaning, our Sefer Torah are not perfect.
Is that really the contradiction between Vavs and Yods? Is that it?
Chaserot, v'yiterot, means literally what?
Less and more.
Less and more. What he's talking about is Yuds and Vavs and Heys. Right?
No.
Okay. Letters, it's words that can either be written chaser or male. Right? That's what it means. Right? That's usually Yud, Vavs, or Heys. Right? Like in last week's Parsha, we had plenty chaserot. What chaser did we have that was missing a hey? Over and over and over.
Oh, Na'ara.
Na'ara, thank you. Na'ara was is. How do you spell Na'ara Malay?
Nun, ayin, reish.
Hey, good. How does the Torah spell it?
Nun, ayin, reish.
Good. Nun, ayin, reish. That's called chaser. Right? Because it is written as if it has a hey, but it doesn't have a hey. Right? So the Shagazai argues, since we do not know every yud and every vav and every hey, we don't know if we're right or wrong, even if we produced a Torah, it would be imperfect. Therefore, Mimela, we can't be obligated to write it because we don't know how to write it perfectly. And that is his Chiddush. But then he says... he says, maybe, therefore, right, what does he continue on this? He says, maybe you're obligated to write it midirabanan, right? Because if you weren't at least obligated midirabanan, what would happen to the Torah? It would be forgotten from Yisrael. Good. But then he says what? Now he goes back to the Rush and he offers a new explanation of the Rush, which is maybe the Rush wouldn't be true when the mitzvah of writing a Sefer Torah were true biblically. But once you say we're not experts in writing it and the mitzvah is only Dirabbanan, so then maybe on a Dirabbanan level you can replace the mitzvah of writing a Sefer Torah with what?
With Svarim.
Why? Because the Dirabbanan mitzvah of writing a Sefer Torah is only about learning, because it's not about writing, because we don't know how to write. So he argues that this Chakira, right, is the mitzvah of writing a Sefer Torah about learning or about writing. He says that's the difference between the Doraisa and the Dirabbanan. The biblical law is to write, and therefore women are obligated, you can't be Yotze with Svarim, right? But the rabbinic mitzvah is about learning, and therefore, can you be Yotzei with Svarim? Yes. Do women need to write?
No.
And therefore, the Shagas Aryeh has his cake and eats it too. And he says, on a biblical level, you can't be Yotzei with Svarim, and women have to write. But the reason that nowadays we get away with Svarim, even though he disagrees with that opinion in the Rush, is because since we don't know how to write, we've moved from the biblical mitzvah, which is about writing, to the rabbinic mitzvah, which is about learning. And in the world of learning, can you replace the Sefer Torah with Svarim?
Yes.
And are women obligated?
No.
And that's how the Shagas Aryeh, right, manages to get both sides of the Chakira in. It's a very fancy piece. How many of you got all those moves?
Very good. Half of them.
It's a beautiful piece. It's a very nice piece. But I gave it to you because, in general, right, it is a skill. And not an easy one to acquire, to read long pieces in Achronim, especially people like the Shagas Aryeh, and piece together everything they said. He's a decently clear writer, but still, it's a lot. Okay? But you see now how those questions are now linked, right? And how sometimes you get to have what's in Yiddish, in brisker Yiddish, we call this Tzvei Dinim. Right? What does Tzvei Dinim mean?
Two Dinim.
It just means two laws. Meaning that there are two elements here that are both true, right? For him, that means the biblical level is about writing, and therefore women are obligated. You can't be Yotze Svarim. The rabbinic layer. We get rid of the biblical layer because we don't know how to write properly, right? The rabbinic layer is about learning. We can be Yotze Svarim. We can be Mekel. Women aren't obligated. That's how he gets it. Now, there is a very fundamental problem with the Shagas Aryeh, which is, what bothers you about the Shagas Aryeh? What bothers everybody about the Shagas Aryeh?
Well, so if you wouldn't know how to write the Sefer Torah like it's supposed to, so, you know, then it would be, so
then we would have to write it.
What?
Yeah, meaning the problem is that it might be true that we are not, right, Yotzei Chaserus Yoseris, but Don't we all make brachot on the Sefer Torah?
Yeah.
Right? Don't we live as if our Sefer Torah are kosher? Why are we allowed to do that?
Because you're learning.
Because even if we're not Bikim B'chaser Zeres, there's halacha. And the halacha is we go by rov. Right? Meaning there are halachic principles, which is when you're unsure of what the right answer is, what do? You rely on rov, you rely on chazaka, you rely on all these types of things, right? So when we write a Sefer Torah, we just base it on another Sefer Torah, which may not be perfect in the theoretical, like, God Sefer Torah, but halachically, it has the status of Sefer Torah because it followed all the rules. And that's why we are allowed to be Yotzei, our obligation in Shul. That's why we say brachot on it, right? Meaning, is the Shagas Aryeh true to our experience? Do we treat our Sefer Torah as not real Sefer Torah? No, because halachically they are, right?
We make brachot on Darabana and Mitzvot also, though.
Correct, but not on Pasul Sefer Torah, right? Right, what happens if you go up to Nalia and they realize that one of the letters is messed up? What do?
You get another Torah.
You got to get another Torah. So why do you do that if our original Torah we know is not kosher? So what's the difference between the first and the second? The answer is halachically we treat our Sefer Torah as kosher because we follow the halachic rules. And even if theoretically we're not begin v'chaser v'yaseres, it doesn't matter from a halachic perspective. Our Sefer Torah are kosher, and therefore a lot of people don't like the Shagas Aryeh, but this is the Shagas Aryeh. Okay. Other halakhic questions that come up. Here's a good question. Comes up all the time. Tell me what you would think. Let's say, who wants to write a Sefer Torah? Who wants to be Daniel is in the middle of learning at the Safra. So Daniel writes a Sefer Torah. And then Daniel decides, look, I don't really want my Sefer Torah in my house because...
Complicated.
What? My wife doesn't want it in the house. I don't know. I feel uncomfortable watching TV, right? Watching movies while the Sefer Torah is sitting there next to me. It just... What?
That's a different problem.
Whatever. Not improper movies, but still.
You don't watch Little Rings, obviously.
Oh, okay. Oh, that with a Sefer Torah, that's fine.
Okay, that's fine.
Godless, yeah, okay. I hold of Lord of the Rings.
The mashallah of the Rings.
I didn't say halacha, but I hold of it. I hold of it.
We should have to get
good. So now Daniel says, I have a good idea. I'll write my Sefer Torah, and then I'll be a Grois Tzaddik, and I'll be a big Tzaddik, and I will donate it to... Which shul are you donating it to? Please don't give another one to the Bayit. Please don't give another one to the Bayit. We have so many. Give it to anybody. Fine, the Bayit. He's giving it to the Bayit. We don't already have 55 Sifrei Torah. The Bayit is the shul that Daniel goes to that I worked in when I was in Toronto, which has over 800 member families, 11 minyanim on Shabbos morning, and more than enough Sifrei Torah for all those minyanim. Okay. Sure, it's big. It's like a city. Okay.
Mikdal Torah in the end.
What?
We need a Sifrei Torah, so we can get a Sifrei Torah.
No, Bayit needs
it. Yeah, Bayit needs another Sifrei Torah. That's really what it needs.
Fine. We'll call Rabbi Kropkin and say that's what Daniel's doing.
Great. Okay, good. So, what's the problem? Daniel, you were Yotzei the mitzvah of Ksivas Sefer Torah L'Mahadrin. You wrote your own Sefer Torah. We're all very proud. Now, you gave your Sefer Torah away. Now what? Are you Yotzei or mitzvah?
Of writing it, you did. It depends.
You gave it away.
You have to put your dedication on it.
Well, what do you think? What does it hang on?
If the mitzvah is to write it or to learn.
If it's about writing it, so maybe.
Yes.
You're Yotzei. But if it's about owning it, having it to learn from, once you've given it over to the shul, so now.
Well, it's
the corporate entity to buy it.
It's the lobby to learn from.
But you see why this hangs on it. So this was introduced by the Torah Chaim. They can either look at the Torah Chaim inside on page. What page did I get
right,
you on?
To learn from
page 4. But because I want to get through it today, let's look at the summary on page 3. Look at Rabbi Kivager. Okay. By the way, remember, guys, again, reminder, because it's important that you recognize this page. Let's just review. In the middle is. Shulchan Aruch, written by Rav Karo, and in the Rashi script is who?
The
Ramah, written by Moshe Israelis. On the two sides, the main commentaries on Yoredeah are the Shach, which is Sifte Cohen, written by Rav Shabtai Cohen Rappaport, and the Taz, written by the Terezav, written by Rav David Alevi. Segal, right? Because he's a Levi, Segal, Levi name, remember? All these fun facts you learned. Great. Underneath, you also get this. You get the Chidushe, Rabbi Akiva Eiger, which are written by?
Rabbi
Akiva Eiger, thank you. Very good. So look at Rabbi Akiva Eiger. He quotes the Dor HaChaim, and he says, Kazav, De'ein lo lahakdish ha-sefer Torah litzibur. You are not supposed to give your Sefer Torah to the community. Ela im kein, kotev acher latzmo. Unless you write another one. So Daniel spends a year writing his first Sefer Torah, proudly gives it to his shul, and then once he gives it to the shul, Rabbi Kropkin says, thank you, but just so you should know that given to us, that was a big mitzvah, but now spend your next year writing, right, Sefer Torah Shel Daniel number 2, right? Because you've just lost your mitzvah. The Torah Chaim is clearly taking the perspective that it is about writing or owning and having and learning. Which one?
Having
yeah, number 2, not first one, because as soon as you give it away, your mitzvah disappears. Right? So he says, now once you think that, he says, another nafkamina, what happens if Daniel and Daniel write it together? Right? For anyone trying to figure out what I just said, there are two people named Daniel, and they're sitting next to each other, and they're both learning Sophros, right? But the people on the recording don't know that, right? Who's listening to the recording? So there are two Daniels. Let's say the Daniels learn it together, and now they say we're going to co-own it. I'll write one parsha, you write the next parsha. I went right, and we'll co-own it.
Parsha by parsha.
No, no, you're right, okay. So now, can they be Yotze with that Sefer Torah? What do you think?
Yes.
What?
Yes. Well, it depends on what. If it's to write it, then...
If it's about owning it, do they each own a full Sefer Torah?
No.
No. Right? If it's about writing, well, maybe not even, right? Maybe. It depends how you look at it.
Well,
right?
They said even Osaka.
So possibly not at all. Now, if you look now at the Pitchei Tshuva, or the Pitchei Tshuva, as I said, is a compendium, a very helpful compendium of later halachic literature. So he quotes from the Beit Ephraim, and he says, Linyan... said, are you Yotze if you write it in partnership? So he says, not sure, because this could go either way, right? Because if you think it's about owning, well, maybe, depends. Do you need to own all of it? Well, okay, here's a lumdish question that we don't have time to go into. There are two ways of considering shutafut. How does halacha view a partnership? What are the two ways of viewing a partnership? Nachum.
As you both own full Sefer
Torah.
Or you both own part.
Good, right? Partnerships is very unclear in halacha. Do each of you own 100%? Or do each own 50%? Right? And every time you have a shut toughest question, you got to figure that one out. And it's very hard to figure out. So whether you own it in partnership, and your Yotze hangs probably on that question. Is Shutafus 50-50 or Shutafus 100-100? Okay? Right, and he says, I'm not sure. Okay, but he says that the Minag HaOlam is to say that you are Yotze B'Shutafut. That's what he says. The Minag HaOlam is to be Yotze B'Shutafut. Okay? Now, if you look at Bet, he quotes the Shagas Aryeh, which we've already seen. So now he says, okay, he gets into the question of whether you give over your Sefer Torah, are you Yotze? So in Gimel, he quotes the Taras Chaim. And he quotes the Sefer B'nai Yonah, who argues. And the Sefer B'nai Yonah says, if you write the Sefer Torah and give it to the shul, are you Yotze?
Yes.
I just told you he argues in Taras Chaim. Yeah. Right? And he says, not only if you give it to the shul, but also if, God forbid, you write it and then it gets lost. You write it and it gets burnt. You write it. Right? So if you look at it, look at Gimel in the Pitchei Tshuva, he writes, V'ayim b'sefer b'nei Yonah me'agon Rabbi Yonah. Okay, I don't know why he broke that into two words, but his name is Rabbi Yonah Landsurfer, right? More known for writing not Kanfei Yonah, but his more famous work, which you probably have never heard of either, is maybe my guys last year remember it, because I talked about it last year and I got it to once. What other book did Rabbi Yonah Landsurfer write? He's a The Me'il Tztaka. Okay. Good luck. I know, I'm sure you're about to. But anyways, Rabbi Yonah Landsurfer says, He says that so cholikol of v'sover d'imnevda mimenu v'imetsuya beizem makom sheyotzin d'imitzvah v'ata ketfu lachem. If you wrote it and it exists, you fulfill it. V'afilum nikra, even if it rips or nisrafa and it burns. Karova davar sheyatzai d'imitzvah takshel k'divah. I'm pretty sure you're yotze because he says is the mitzvah owning, learning, or writing?
Writing,
and therefore if you wrote it, you wrote it. Now. There is a widespread minhag, however, of how Daniel can give over his Sefer Torah to the shul and still not run into Torah Chaim. And does anyone know what it is?
He's part of your Shabbat, so it's
nope, that would be a nice solution, but there's actually another way, which is that the minhag is in most shuls that when someone gives a Sefer Torah to the shul, what do they not do? They don't give it to the shul to own. They lend it to the shul. You ever heard people say this? I lend it to the shul. I keep it in the aura and the shul is free to use it, but it belongs to me. Why are they doing that?
Because they hold the mitzvah.
Because they want to be machmer l'Torah Chaim, who thinks the mitzvah is about the consistent owning, the ability to learn, etc., etc., and therefore, if they give it over, then they have to do it again. And therefore, what they do is they don't give it to the shul, they lend it to the shul, right? The shul is merely borrowing many, many, many Sifrei Torah from...
In the Bayez case, many
Sefer Torah. Though, to be fair, at this point, like, my shul and Dagan. Like, we had Achmas Sefer Torah 2 weeks ago, we have another one this week,
oh, wow.
Right? You know, these things happen. People love writing Sifrei Torah. It's beautiful. Okay. What is another way that people get involved in the mitzvah? Right? Remember from the Gemara. This is from the Gemara. Do you need to write this Sefer Torah?
No.
What else can you do?
Have someone write it for you.
What else can you do?
Inherit.
Thank you, Gavi. Right? Remember the Gemara? Right? Look. Daniel are very, very... they are very... What's the word I'm looking for?
Generous.
No, they are generous, but they are very ambitious. They want to write a whole Sefer Torah, but the Gemara already said that all you really need to do is fix the Sefer Torah, so I have a better solution, right? Mizrahi did this last 2 years ago. Did anyone see this, the Mizrahi thing? Right? Mizrahi 2 years ago decided that they were going to do something very beautiful. There are many, many, many shuls all over the world that have not only many Sefer Torah, but many puzzle Sefer Torah. You ever go in shul and Simchas Torah, and some of them look normal, and some of them have the gartel on the outside?
Yes.
Why is it? What does the gartel on the outside mean? It means it's puzzle. So Mizrahi came up with a brilliant idea, which was, it costs a lot of money to buy a new Sefer Torah. And there are many places in the world, many army bases that need Sefer Torah. And it costs a lot to write. You know what doesn't cost a lot?
To fix.
And all these shuls, do they need their Basel Sefer Torah?
No.
No, how do I know? They have many others and they haven't bothered fixing these. So what did they do? They commissioned, right, they got 70 Sefer Torah in honor of the 70th anniversary of the State of Israel. They got 70 shuls in North America donate their puzzle Sifrei Torah, got a bunch of sofrim together, they went through the puzzle Sifrei Torah, and they fixed them, and then they donated them to places that needed Sifrei Torah. Beautiful! Right? Beautiful! Now, the person who sits down to fix the Sifrei Torah, this is an explicit Gemara, he fulfilled his mitzvah of writing the Torah. Right? Now, combine two positions, two halachot, and explain to me how many people try to be yotzei their mitzvah of Sefer Torah. Combine what I just said with one other halacha that we just saw.
You could have someone.
Three halachot, sure. Two or three, right? One is that fixing a Sefer Torah counts like writing it. Number two is there's a machloket about Shutvus. If you paskin, you are yotzei with Shutvus, then what can you do?
Then you could even write one letter.
You can write one letter of a Sefer Torah and be involved in it, and maybe you'll be yotzei. Right? Ever wonder why at the end of a Sefer Torah they invite many people to fill in the last letters? Because they're trying to be yotzei the mitzvah of Tziva Sefer Torah according to certain shitot. Because according to a plausible construal of shitot, you might fulfill your mitzvah by doing that. Now, it's not totally clear because who really should be Yotzei that mitzvah? Only the person who?
Who's writing.
Writes the last letter and makes the Sefer Derech Kasher. It's not clear that it would work for everyone.
We said Ozachas.
Yes, Ozachas, because you went made it from Pasul to Kasher. Right?
Can you do like Kasher and then someone else puzzles it? And then
so it's not totally clear. Now there were, Rebbe Yashiv was apparently Machmir, though, that when he would do it, now this is not 100%, right? Now it could just be that anyone who's involved in fixing the Sefer Torah is Yotzei, and that's why we do it, right? Is interpreting that way. But Rebbe Yashiv said, have you ever seen, how do we actually do it? Have you ever been to a Ksiva Sefer Torah? How do they usually do it? So sometimes what they'll do is they'll let you write it.
Sometimes they
don't. Or hold your hand, but what? How will they make you write it?
They'll draw the outline.
Good, they draw the outline and they let you fill it in. So Rebbe Yashiv said that's good, except for certain letters, like a right? Certain letters, your Yotzei, even if they're outlined, right? And therefore, it was already a letter, and therefore you did nothing halachically, right? And I think we'll get to this, but I'm pretty sure we'll do this as we do Ksivas Sefer. I think it was a Yud. He said, if you write in a Yud, right, a Yud is not kosher if it's just the outline. I think that's what it was, but don't hold me to that. We'll get to it when we actually get to the details of Ksivas Sefer Torah. But if you want to understand the minhag, that everyone makes a big deal, right? And they charge you a lot of money, right, to come. Have you ever seen this, right? It's a big fundraiser, right? $180 a letter, right, or whatever. No?
Yeah,
so they could be sort of...
What? Yeah, so did I. But there are places that will do it for... Right?
Bukhari.
Right? Well, like, well, I think when B'nai Akiva Schools did it a few years ago, it was like... It was, if you wanted to dedicate a sefer, it was like 10 grand, and a parsha was like 1,000, but the letters were like 180 or something, right? Or psukim, or important psukim, I don't remember. Something like that, right? But why do they make a big deal of it? Because they're combining the halacha of magia, right? That if you fix a letter in the sefer Torah, you're Yotzei, plus a recognition that maybe you're Yotzei even b'shutafus, right, in partnership, and therefore they say, ah, we'll have 50 people come, fill them the last letters. Now you'll see it in two ways, right? Sometimes what they'll do is draw the outline and let you write it, or sometimes what will they do, which is equally halakhically valid, but maybe not halakhatila, but works, which is
you make them your shliach.
You make them your shliach. You ever wonder why you do that?
Because they don't.
Who are you trying to be Yotzei?
Yourself.
Which shita? The Rambam, remember? Because the Rashi says, do you need someone to be your shliach to write it?
No.
No, you're allowed to buy it. Who says? Either you should write it or you should commission someone to write it.
Rambam.
The Rambam. Well, that's why the Sofer will say, appoint me a shliach. By the way, I hope right now as we finish the sugya, suddenly all these weird things that we do, right, start to come together. There's a reason we do all of these. And that is because they're each based on a shita.
When the Sofer, Judaism.
Yes. When the Sofer says, would you like me to write it for you? Right? Or would you like to write it? And if you say, I want you to write, and he says, okay, appoint me your shliach. Right?
We usually like
right? You say, you are now my messenger.
We put our
right?
On the guy's shoulder.
Right? Or you pick up a thing, whatever they'll make you do, a sudar, whatever they do. But they say, appoint me your shliach. Why are they doing that? Again, because the Rambam says the mitzvah is, oh, sheyichtov, oh, sheyiskor, mishu lichtov, avuro, to hire someone, commission someone to write for you. And why do we think that you can be Yotzei with one letter? Because the Gemara says Magia Ozachas. And why do we think that maybe multiple people can be Yotzei with that?
Because
Shutfus might work. Now you suddenly understand why we do this. We're combining Shitot, right? And why do we do this? Why is this such a big deal? Right, tell me, why is it such a big deal? Because
it's hard for everyone to write their own.
Because it's hard for everyone to write a Sefer Torah, and the majority of you, do we paskin like the Rush?
No.
Either we don't paskin like the Rush, or we don't understand the Rush as meaning that he replaced it with books. Are we convinced by the Shagas Aryeh that nowadays it's impossible to write a Sefer Torah?
No.
So what do? We own books, because maybe that's what the Rush means. Right? And we try to go to Achnatz Sefer Torah and write a letter, either by ourselves, we'll have the Sofer write it on behalf, because then at least, according to the Shita of Shutfus and Magia Ozachas,
you're Yotzei something.
You wrote a Sefer Torah and now you're Yotzei. Right? And the reason that people who write a Sefer Torah or commission an entire Sefer Torah to a shul will often try not to take ownership of it is to be Yotzei Hushita, remember?
No.
The Torah Chaim, who says that you can't give up the Sefer Torah. Now, it's not clear, right? There are shittos that say that it's perfectly fine, but the reason they do it is because, right? So now suddenly you understand that all the madness, right? All these different things that we do around Sefer Torah, each of them is an attempt to fulfill different positions that we've each seen and have justified conceptually, right? Which, if nothing else, the guys who were in my shir last year know, right, that I have... I know some people who are lamdanim don't like doing halakha l'maisa. I feel like at the end of a sugya, it's nice to bring it down to halakha l'maisa because you realize that all these conceptual, theoretical questions actually mean something. They matter, right? There are...
Unless it ends up missing teku.
Sure, they don't always. Now, there are some interesting sort of minor questions that the Pesachei Tshuva says, right? The Pesachei Tshuva has raised the question, okay, what if someone writes it on your behalf without you knowing? Are you Yotze? What's his suffix? Look at it in Vav, just to run through a few last questions. He says, why might you say that you are Yotze? Because of a category in Halakha called Zachin la'adam shelo befanav. If I'm benefiting someone, I can do it without their permission on the presumption that
he wants it.
Now, without even looking at it, why might you say that you are not Yotze writing a Sefer Torah because if someone does it for you?
He wasn't appointed a shliach.
Because he didn't appoint a shliach, and the Gemara says it's better to do it by yourself. Right? Which means that it's not what's called a schut gamur. Because yes, he wrote it on your behalf, so you might be Yotze, but you didn't get the opportunity to write it or appoint the shliach yourself, and therefore you may have lost part of the mitzvah, and therefore it's not a schut gamur, hence his suffix. But he, in the end of the day, that's his suffix. Let's see. Now he notes. Now, do we paskin? Are you Yotze by buying it? What do you think? Shulchan Aruch paskins like who? The Rambam, right? But Rashi said that you're allowed to merely own it, so you can buy it. And the Gra paskins like Rashi. Sorry, the Rambam paskin the Rambam. The Gra paskin like Rashi. If you look at Pesachei Tshuva and Tet, he notes this, right? That Gra zatzal paskin kadas. Rashi di Yotze baze. Okay, so that is. There are some other questions to be dealt with, but oh yeah, one more point. Now, who explicitly says? Let's leave it there. Okay, so let's just summarize what we've seen. Right, we spent the first 2 days trying to derive how we got to the mitzvah of writing a Sefer Torah. So remind me, how do we get from the pasuk of writing? Quick review. How do we get from the pasuk of writing Hazinu to the mitzvah of writing Sefer Torah? Possibilities? What's the Rambam?
Can't include one without Hashir.
You can't write
that. Good, right? Shira means Hazinu, but you can't write it. What were the problems? But you can't write only part of the Torah. The problems were? The problem is you probably can't. So what other attempts did we see?
Since it's like a testimony. Or like that,
it's a witness. Correct. We saw it's a testimony for the Torah. So logical arguments, different arguments. Or Shira from other places means Torah. Good. And if you don't buy any of it, and you're Rabbi Yochum Fisher Perla, what do you say? There is no mitzvah to write a Sefer Torah, it's only the Rabbanan, right? Good. Then we got into what is the nature of the mitzvah. We saw it's either about writing or owning, which may come down to the question whether it's about writing and being marbes svarim b'Yisrael, right? Or about learning, which gets just about owning, which we saw as a machloket, seemingly the Rambam and Rashi. Rashi says, are you Yotze by buying it? Yes, according to the Rambam, not so clear. We saw that it may depend on which mitzvah we're talking about, the mitzvah of the king versus the mitzvah of the individual, that might be different, right? That was the Kesef Mishnah, Diuk and the Rambam, right? The mitzvah of the king is different than the mitzvah of the Hedyot, right? Then we saw some other questions that might hang on this question of, is it only about learning or writing? One possibility is, how do you read the Rush, right? Can you replace it with Svarim or not? Beis Yosef says the Rush always meant Svarim plus Sefer Torah. The Drisha thinks he means only Svarim. So does the Taz and the Shach, but they paskin against it, right? Another possible nafkamina is women, but not necessarily, because women are obligated to learn some of Talmud Torah, right? We saw that the question of nowadays, right, what do we do? So it could be you paskin the Rush. Other defense, Shagas Aryeh, is we don't know how to write it. And then the Shagas Aryeh had Sveg in him, right? He said, maybe the D'oraisa is to write it. therefore it needs to be perfect, therefore we can't fulfill it, therefore women are obligated because it's not about Talmud Torah, but the Derabanan, which is only about learning, can be replaced with Svarim, and women are not obligated. That's the Shagas Aryeh. We saw that practically, since we don't really paskin like that interpretation of the Rosh, it's not the majority view. If you don't want to buy that, you don't buy the Shagas Aryeh. We rely on the Magia, right? And therefore, at Ksiva Sefer Torah, that's why we fill it in, that's why we appoint someone, etc., etc. We noted that one of the suffix here is Shutfus, but that seems to be a localized question. Shutfus is Shutfus, both people own 100% or 50-50. The question of should you give it over to the shul is a question of whether the mitzvah is the writing or the perpetual owning. That's the Machloket, the Torah Chaim, and the Kamfei Yonah, of whether Daniel is allowed to give over his Sefer Torah to the Bayit, or he needs to just lend it to them. And that, I think, we'll leave it there. Tomorrow.